Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the KSolve India Limited Q4 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Prateek Jagtap from EY Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Seema. Welcome, everyone, and thanks for joining KSolve India Limited Q4 FY26 earnings call. The results have been mailed to you along with the investor presentation, and it is also available at www.ksolve.com. In case anyone does not have the copy of the investor presentation, please do write to us, and we will be happy to share it with you. Joining us today from the management team is Ratan Srivastava, Chairman and Managing Director, Umang Soni, Chief Financial Officer, Manish Gurnani, Chief Technology Officer, Darpan Auditya, Head Business Transformation and Consulting, Mayank Shukla, Technical Project Manager, AI. We will begin with management's remark covering the business update and quarterly performance highlights, and then move on to the Q&A session. Before we start, I would like to remind you that anything that is said on this call that reflects any outlook for the future or which can be construed as a forward-looking statement must be viewed in conjunction with the risks and uncertainties that we face. These risks and uncertainties are included but not limited to what we have mentioned in the prospectus filed with SEBI and subsequent annual report that you can find on our website. Having said that, I will now hand over the call to Ratan sir. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Prateek. Welcome, and thank you, everyone, for joining our Q4 financial year 26 earnings call. FY26 marked an important milestone as we crossed 150 crore in annual revenues, reflecting the strengthening scale and resilience of our business. We closed the year with revenue of 162.7 crore. It is up 18.5% year-on-year with an EBITDA of 48.3 crore at a margin of 29.7% and PAT of 34.3 crore. This was alongside continued investment in our capabilities, talent, and long-term positioning. In terms of quarterly performance, Q4 was a strong quarter with revenue of 43.03 crore, growing 29.1% year-on-year and 1.7% sequentially. In fact, what gives us confidence is that Q4 also saw conversion of some of our strategic wins across large enterprise clients and marquee global brands, including first, a full SAP to Udo migration for a listed Indian infrastructure company in power transmission and green energy, displacing SAP at a listed client signals our Udo practice is now enterprise-grade. Second, specialist data science talent deployed with a New York-based risk and financial crime advisory firm working on financial crime detection. Third, an ERP implementation for a member firm of a top six global accounting network in East Africa. These wins reinforce our positioning, delivery quality, and brand credibility even in an uncertain environment. Our growth continues to be driven by a diversified services mix across ERP, cloud, data, AI, Salesforce, and enterprise transformation. With 82% of revenue being recurring, providing strong visibility and resilience. FY26 marked a structural shift in how KSOLs operate. We have repositioned ourselves as an AI-first organization, where AI is not an overlay but embedded into delivery, execution, and client engagement. What the shift reflects is a genuine capability we have built to enable clients through AI, bringing frameworks, agentic thinking, and technical depth that translate into real business outcomes for them. At KSOLs, our conviction is simple. Every task, whether it is coding, testing, operations, or communication, is executed by AI agents. Our engineers review, enhance, and raise the bar, not execute. We have stabilized ourselves as a 360-degree AI transformation partner. Whether a client needs software built or operation transformed, we bring agents, AI agents, to both. Agent that code, agent that test, agent that deploy, agent that automate workflows, monitor communication, and flag risk. We know that future is agentic. At KSOLs, that future is already our operating model. We are an AI transformation partner, and that distinction shapes everything about how we engage, deliver, and grow. Enterprise AI has moved from experimentation to execution globally. KSOLs is already on the right side of the shift, not by responding to it, but by enabling it alongside our clients. Now, coming to guidance for FY26, we expect annual revenue growth to be around 18%-20% and EBITDA margin to be in the range of 25%-30%. Demand remains intact, and our execution momentum is strong. We remain confident of delivering sustainable growth while continuing to invest for scale. Overall, we believe the business has delivered strong growth in a challenging environment, and the building blocks created in FY26 position us well for the next phase of growth. Thank you. With this, I now hand over the floor to Umang to share financial highlights. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Just one correction. The guidance was for FY27. Okay. So, and good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining our Q4 FY26 earnings call. Let me quickly walk you through the financial performance for Q4 and full year of financial year 26. So, as Ratan mentioned, FY26 has been a year of strong growth and combined with deliberate investment for us. Our revenue stood at Rs. 162.7 crore, up by 18.4% year on year. Our EBITDA was at 48.3 crore, and EBITDA margin stood at 29.7% in FY26 versus 34.8% in FY25. This was a conscious and planned investment phase, as we communicated in earlier calls. This was primarily driven by ESOP-related cost, investment in senior leadership and compensation cost, higher travel and event spend to strengthen our global presence, and one-time impact for the new labor regulations amounting to Rs. 1.1 crore. Importantly, these are strategic and largely non-recurring investments. We exited FY26 at the upper end of the range guided, that is 29.7% EBITDA margin, which ensures that we reinforce the stability. Profit after tax for FY26 stood at 34.3 crore, in line with FY25, despite the investments made in capability build-out. PAT margin was at 21.1%. Our continued efforts have resulted into a strong 5-year revenue CAGR of 42% and a healthy 5-year net profit CAGR of 31%. We continue to deliver exceptional return ratios with ROC at 152% and ROE at 137% for the financial year 25-26. For Q4 FY26, we reported a revenue of 40.03 crore, a growth of 1.7% sequentially and 29.1% year-on-year. The top-line growth was driven by consistent execution across ongoing client and core business momentum remained healthy. Our EBITDA margin for the quarter stood at 29.3%, PAT for the quarter stood at 9.7 crore, translating into a PAT margin of 22.5%. Earnings per share for the quarter was rupees 4.09 per share. We continue to generate strong cash flows, and our balance sheet remains healthy with cash balance of 6.9 crore with a net debt-free status. From a client concentration standpoint, our top five and top 10 clients contributed 40% and 54% of our revenues, respectively, in FY26. Overseas market contributed approximately 77% of our revenues, underscoring the increasing contribution of global markets. As highlighted earlier, IT services remains the core driver of our revenue and profitability. Product segment, which is a small contributor, continues to be developed in a disciplined manner. As we move into FY27, our focus remains clear: deepening the relationship with our existing clients, increasing the share of fixed-price and outcome-based engagements, leveraging our 360-degree AI transformation partner positioning, using the AI-led productivity to scale delivery, deepen client engagement, and move from technology vendor to end-to-end reinvention partner. Continued investment in talent capabilities and maintaining margin discipline with operating leverage. With this, I will now hand over the floor to operator to open this session for Q&A. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Thank you. We take the first question from the line of Apoorv from Whitestone Financial Advisors. Please proceed with your question.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is, as we have mentioned that we use AI agents to code tests and operations, right? So how much efficiency do we see in our employee expense going forward, maybe in the financial FY27?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Can you come back, please?
There's some disturbance.
Okay. One second. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Can you speak again, please?
Yeah. So my question is regarding that we are using AI agents to code tests in our operations, right? So then do we expect the efficiency in the employee expense going forward?
See, basically, we have not exactly measured, okay, that what will be the result. But what we are observing right now, that when we are using the agent, it is reducing the time and it is increasing the output, okay? And we are trying to create agents for every repetitive task. So at this moment, I do not have an exact answer for your question that how much it will affect the costing.
Got it.
In terms of the.
Sure. Sir, can you please share some examples where we have used AI in our day-to-day operations?
Definitely. For example, today we have even one person from the sales team. That person has created an agent on Claude. What he has done, he has created an agent that agent is getting data from the Excel sheet, and then that agent is because that agent is tuned, and then agent is deciding that which email ID agent should select to send email for cold email. Okay, so we have all that salesperson has uploaded the Excel sheet, and then agent is deciding that which email ID that agent should select to send as a cold email. This is a small agent. Okay, a part of this, let me give you another example. For example, how many events are going to be organized in New York in next 3 months? Okay, now we have created an agent, and that agent is searching every day at a specific time that how many new events are added all around the world, and that agent is sending us emails. So this is a small example that how we are trying to create agents for repetitive tasks.
Okay, got it, sir. So also, like you have mentioned,
I can give you a very highly technical example, but that I don't think that it is the right time. Okay, I think I have given you answer.
Okay. Okay, sir. So I have one more question. So that you have mentioned in our key wins that we have onboarded a specialist data scientist. So I didn't get it. Like, have we I'm onboarded that person as an employee, or we have given that as an outsourced person to another company?
See,
if you can just throw some light on this.
Actually, we have onboarded not one, we have onboarded many one. Okay. Mm-hmm. First thing. But not as an employee, we have given them our people to research on a specific topic. Okay. So it is not my chance. Okay.
Yeah. So let me I can also add to that is, so this is for some clients who are very strictly regulated because they are into financial let's say fraud detection, security, right? All of those areas. Okay, so this is a area where this team has been set up, and this has been doing good because it's a very a niche and high revenue area.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And not only one, we have added multiple resources for that customer.
Got it. Wonderful. Thank you. So that's it for my idea.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Tarshil Zaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, sir. Thank you so much for taking my question. Firstly, congratulations on a great Q4, sir. So just wanted to ask with regards to our margin, right, here. So the trajectory, actually what we've been seeing that is that our revenue has been steadily growing, but our margin have been declined, due to which our PAT has been near identical in the last 3 years, sir. So in terms of bottom line growth, how do we see it, sir?
Okay. Come on, you can answer this.
Yes, you can. So basically, if you see, we have made quite few investments this year, which we already communicated, and we have been communicated from the Q1 of FY26. Okay, because earlier there were no ESOPs, there were no events being attended, there was no any expenses done on branding, and we have also invested few amounts in DFM as well. So all this, in spite of all this, we have ended on the upper range of the guided margin. Okay, so if you compare from last year Q4, this year Q4 has been quite significant, and we expect it to be in the same range going forward as well.
Okay. So basically, so I wanted to know that, like, even though the guidance is given of 25 to 30%, we should ideally have it on the higher range, right? Because of AI also we'll get some efficiencies. I'm assuming that some marketing costs that we had done this year, it would be more of the one time in nature, or is it more recurring? Because
Yeah.
just wanted to like understand, because we've performed really well in a very difficult condition, but our margins are getting eaten up. So is that like, is it because also because of a threat of AI coming in, we have to also do some price cutting? How do you see that, sir?
So it's not recurring, I would say. Few expenses would be there, but at not a great scale that we're done in FY26. So there would be some benefits from these investments as well. And on AI side, we are seeing efficiency internally, and due to the current situation, global situation, there are few delays you can say, but the conversions are going strong and demand is healthy.
Okay. And sir, with regards to like when you were saying deal getting delayed, so do we have like a rough, you know, order pipeline that we have, and like what kind of order bookings can we expect, like, or deal wins we can expect in FY27, sir?
We have already given the I think guidance range for the revenues.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, that's it from my end. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Kaustubh Pugna from BMSPL Capital. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. This is Shreya on behalf of Kaustubh. How much percentage of your total business or your total revenue is currently AI first?
So, first of all, AI is not a standalone revenue factor. It's embedded in all the technologies. Okay. So all the services we are delivering, they are AI embedded.
Okay. And how is the BFM business scaling, and where are we at currently versus where would we like to be?
So on DFM, we would like to discuss it more on a later stage when the product's revenue become a marginal revenue. As earlier communicated, we are more focusing on IT services because that's the main bread and butter of our business. So we are scaling product business in a very disciplined manner, but our main focus is completely on IT services.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to join the question queue may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. Participants, if you wish to join the question queue, you may press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Jatin Sharma, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Ratan. Good evening. I just have one question, right, because we have been talking in past few meetings regards to the DFM. So I just want to understand that product, that what was overall expenses that the company has done for the product development of DFM in the last year, and what it is planned in the current year, 27.
All right. So Jatin, on DFM development, if you say approx, if you want to quantify it, then you can consider approx 2 crores was expensed in FY26, and we expect no further big investments on DFM development in FY27.
Okay. So, and then
Umang, can you hear me now?
Yes.
One thing I would like to add here, that we are not going to spend money on DFM. Okay. DFM development is done. We will wait for the customers. And on the event side, the expenses we have done last year, it will reduce up by 60% at least, okay, this year. We have attended many events last year for the DFM, and we have spent huge money for the DFM on the development side as well as on the marketing side. This year, we will focus only and only on the services. Okay. And for the DFM, we will wait for the customers. And if we will get the customer, if we will convert, then we will think about the next system. But for now, and for the next few quarters, we will focus only on the services. We will not spend money on the product side. Because last year we have spent money on the product side, but unfortunately, we could not generate revenue for that. Okay. So you can say that from the services, we have taken the money from the services and we have spent money for the product. And that's why you can see the growth, PAT growth is, you can see there's a very low PAT growth as compared to last year. But this year, we will focus only on the services, not on the product and not for the expenses related to product like events and all. I hope I have given the answer.
Yeah, all right. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to join the question queue, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to join the question queue, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Prabhav Agarwal, an individual investor. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
So my question is along the lines of rupee depreciation that we have seen. So considering 60% of our revenue comes from North America region, so in the Q4 FY26, do we see the benefit of rupee depreciation in the PAT margin, or do we expect that to see that in coming quarters?
No, we have in fact seen a tailwind of this FX tailwind. So we have benefited, but not at a large scale. But yeah, somewhere. To quantify it, I would say this somewhere lies in between, you can say, approximately 20 lakhs. So that was FX gain you can consider from the rupee tailwind thing.
And sir, do we expect any further margin improvement from this level on account of any FX?
I think it will remain because now the billings will happen at a higher rate. This is a continuous process, but yeah, we are focusing on margins as well.
Got it. Understood, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star in one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Kaustav Bubna from BMSPL Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Ratan.
Hi, Ra.
Yeah, hi. So again, I just wanted to further ask on this DFM product, because you know, in a lot of calls before, you all always spoke about it and now you don't. So I really wanted to understand, was our expectations for this product much more than the current reality of customer acceptance, or do we still have hope for this product in the future?
See, you are correct. Expectation was more. Okay, and that we could not achieve till now. Being an entrepreneur, it is my job to try multiple things, multiple approach to increase the business. And that was, you can say, my try to develop a product apart of the regular services. I sold it to two customers also. Two, three customers are in pipeline, but due to geographical problems, they have shifted it to June, July. But still, I do not see lot of, honestly speaking, I do not see lot of opportunities in DFM. So that's why I have decided whatever happened, it happened. Now let's focus on services, which is our bread butter. If you will see separately services and product, then you will see that our data is amazing. Okay. We have taken money from the services, we have spent money on the DFM, but now we will focus only on the services. We are doing good. We have a good pipeline. We have already given you the guidelines and we have adopted the AI. Everyone is cloud certified now in the KSOLS. I do not see that any other company has everyone certified by the cloud, and we are heavily using AI and all those things. So I'm hoping a good, I'm seeing that good future of KSOLS.
Okay, and just lastly, on the margin front, Ratan, I mean, why, as a company policy, right, why, as in when you all give guidance, I want to understand the logic why you are guiding for such a broad range of margin, you know, 25 to 30%, because, I mean, it's, the reality of your bottom line will be very different if you are 25% EBITDA or 30% EBITDA. So why such a broad range?
See, as you can see the past, we have been always around 30% plus minus something. But you can see that every day you are getting new news on the internet. Okay. So we don't know that what will be the news tomorrow. Okay, so considering those geopolitical things, okay, I'm trying to be conservative and that's why I have given you the bracket. But if everything goes well all around the world, then it will be a good number.
Okay, great. And you have some cash on your books, so will you continue paying dividend or are you looking at some acquisitions?
We will continue giving the dividend. We tried for acquisition, but unfortunately we could not find good company. So we dropped that idea and now I'm focusing completely on the business. Okay, because that if you will go for acquisition, then you will have to spend a lot of time also.
Okay. Yeah.
So I found that I should spend time right now on the services, and for the next year, I have a good plan. We are focusing on multiple advanced technologies with the help of AI. We are offering our customer complete 360 degree AI transformation. We are as a partner, AI transformation partner. Till now, we were doing just development, but now we are saying that we will do the development with the help of AI, and then we will help you to cut your operation cost by creating, developing agents for you. So complete AI. AI for development, then AI for operations.
Understood. Understood. Okay, great. Thank you so much, Ratan. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajesh from RK Capital. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I saw in your investor presentation that you have become a PEPS certified partner, the ERP Next partner, right? So, how good is the opportunity in ERP Next compared to Odoo?
See, Manish, would you like to answer or I should answer?
Sir, I can answer. Darpan, yes, I can
answer. Darpan, you can answer. Okay, fine.
Yes. So, the situation is not around comparing these two ERPs. We wanted to initiate our ERP practice. So earlier what was happening, whenever any customer was coming to us, we were only ready with our Odoo offering. And we wanted to diversify in a manner that, okay, if any specific person is coming, they both have their own differentiations. They both have their own features. Odoo is an open source thing, which is driven by an specific framework. ERP Next is a Frappe partnered management system having its own 17-18 connected apps. So both have their own market, both have their own costing aspects also. To initiate our own ERP business, our own ERP dimension, we added ERP or Frappe partnership also. So so that if any specific customer is getting onboarded, we can offer two ranges of ERPs instead of specifically focusing on Odoo. That was the intent.
What is the installed customer base of at least can you give some metrics at the product level, like the installed customer base of ERP Next versus Odoo in India and globally?
To specifically or to go with a very detailed thought, we'll share it with you, because that is right now may not be available. But like to be very figurative or very clear, we'll share this information with you.
Okay. How will I get that information? Your team will reach out?
Yes. Yes. Our IR team will reach out. Asha, we can reach out, right?
Okay. And so, like going forward, like will your dividend payout continue to be in the range of 40 to 60% of your profits? Like, what is your dividend payout policy going forward?
Yes, it will continue in the same manner, as we are not looking for any acquisitions or inorganic growth currently in the coming quarters. So it will continue the same way.
Okay, so we can expect 40 to 60% of the profits being paid out.
Yes.
Okay. And sir, I joined a bit late. If you can just, you know, reiterate in case you have already called it out, your revenue growth, which you expect for FY27. Because you are going to focus only on services is what I heard. So how much revenue growth are you expecting?
So for FY27, we are expecting annual revenue growth of around 18 to 20%.
Okay. So this is some moderation in your growth range, is it? Because I think in the past you've been growing at a very high pace. Do you see like... if you can just explain a bit more.
The now base is large, right? When we have started the company, when we launched the IPO, that time the overall revenue was 10 crore yearly. Okay. Quarterly 2.5 crore. So adding 25 lakh in a quarter was a joke, you can say, at that time. Now if you compare current situation, okay, at now, right now, the current base is 43.2, and now for 10%, suppose we need to add 4.3. It is not a small number. So that's why if you see, the absolute number is increasing, but percent is decreasing.
Okay. Okay, sir. Okay. That's it for me.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Apoor from Whitestone Financial Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. So I just have two more questions. So the first question is on, you mentioned that we have migrated a client from SAP to Odoo. So I want to understand what would have been the reason for the migration for the client to move to Odoo.
The multiple customers are trying to reduce their cost, okay, and they are trying to move to less costly solutions. So Odoo and SAP both are doing mostly the same, both are providing mostly same feature, okay, and you know that SAP is super costly as compared to Odoo. So that's why not only this customer, we have other customers also. 3 days before, I had a call with the one customer from the Tanzania. They also want to move from SAP to Odoo. Okay. So,
okay.
I hope I had you in that.
Yes, sir. And my second question is, sir, are we seeing any delays in order or because of the this ongoing war?
Yeah, definitely. Actually, no, but UAE, we have a good business in UAE, okay. But we had few customers and they were about to release the order in the, okay, but they could not. And that's why you can see that, I can see that if they would have done it, then for this quarter, the growth, we could see that more than 1.7%, Right now, we are seeing only 1.7% quarter on quarter. This is because of that war. Okay. But now things are good. They are releasing the order. They are releasing the PO and all. And we can see the bright future at this moment. So that's why we are very optimistic for 18 to 20% growth and margin, considering the current situation. If whatever what will happen tomorrow, I don't know. You know what I'm trying to indicate.
Yeah. Okay. Got it, sir. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your touchtone phone. The next question is from the line of Rajesh from RK Capital. Please proceed, sir.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. Sir, since you mentioned you are not going to have product-related expenses and event-related expenses in FY27, but at the same time, the margin band is a wide range of 25 to 30%. Can we expect PAT growth to be at least higher than your revenue growth, or is it uncertain at this point?
Umang, will you answer?
Yes, definitely. So, there are a lot of things attached to margin because we are investing heavily in AI as well, and we are investing in insurances, security, IT security. So few expenses are attached to it as we are growing, and that's why that range has been kept to 25 to 30%, but overall our aspiration is to end on the higher side of it.
See, one thing I would like to again tell here, that 25 to 30 is something that we would be able to manage, okay, easily. If everything goes well, then you can see better number. But we are trying to be conservative so that in future, if anything goes wrong, then nobody should say that, okay, we have given a high number and then this happens. So that's why we are saying that 25 to 30 is doable easily.
Okay. Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone phone. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining the conference call, this con call. Okay. I would like to conclude here that we are now AI first company, and we are trying to build our image as an AI transformation partner for our customer, who is providing end to end, means development to operation, operational cut cost, means reducing the development cost and reducing the operational cost by AI. And it is not something that we have not tried it. We have tried, and for multiple customers we have already done. If you will see the commentary, we are already using AI for at least 60-70% customers, and we have increased their output with the same amount of the amount, with the same number of the resources. And once again, thank you everyone for joining the call. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of KSolve India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.